We're going to sing one song, and sorry for the absence of Badahari, but this is a song by Bhaktivinod Thakur that's a lead into the topic for this morning. In the essence of the song is Bhaktivinod Thakur's firm determination that in all circumstances, from all positions of life, it doesn't matter what's going on, I'm going to chant. And those of you that have song sheets can follow along. Those of you that have one can share it. Those of you that don't, you can just listen. Go ahead. More cartels? Cartels? Someone play cartels?
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
don't know the words, it's very nice. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was singing very sweetly the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appeal whether you are a householder, Grihetako, or a sannyasi, Vanitako, Sada Hari Bolo Dako. Constantly chant Hari Hari. Sukhe Dukhe Bolo Nako. Whether it doesn't matter, happiness, distress, doesn't matter. Chant in any circumstance. Vadane Harinamo, Harinam Korore. Just fill your lips with Harinam. What's our circumstance? Maya Jalabhade. We're bound up in the network of Maya. Forced to toil fruitlessly. Now you've attained full consciousness in this human form of life, so Radha Madhava Nam Bholore. Chant. This human form of life is meant for spiritual perfection. The bondage is there. Spiritual perfection is calling. Chant. Radha Madhava Bholo. Nam Bolore. I'll do it later. No, don't do it later. Your life may end at any moment. And you have not served the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. Nabhajine, Rishikesh. Take this advice of Bhakti Vinod. Ekbar Nam Rasa Mathore. Just once. Taste the nectar of the holy name. We're trying. We're trying. Keep trying. In any circumstance. So, this song is specific with the theme of this morning's presentation on same thing we did the last festival of the Holy Name, only I'm going to do much more compact because we did it previously, but the 9 keys for chanting as Bhurijan Prabhu in his wonderful little book. Besides, it's really nice because it's little. It's not like one of these. It's really easy. And also, it's very nice because there are very practical. He uses the word keys to chanting. One way to think of keys is, as the discussion was yesterday, there's a big gap between where we are and what we know. We know so many nice things, and we're not there, we're here. So there's that gap, just like we're in the temple room, or supposing you're out in the foyer, you want to come in the temple room. To cross from outside the temple room into the temple room, there's a door, and there's a threshold. That little strip is called a threshold in carpentry. It's also called limen. Something between outside and inside. So we want inside. We want to be with Krishna. And we know, but we're not. So there's keys to open the door. And the wonderful thing is, there's a master key that opens all the doors. And that's operative in opening all the keys, The master key is Krishna's mercy. It's operative in all the door openings or the crossing of stages. And those doors, they're subtle. Not like, but although they're subtle, you can't cross if you don't open the door. So, the first key is just chant. There's a time when people are not chanting, and then there's a time when they're chanting, and they're chanting, according to Rupa Goswami's teaching, it's through the association of chanters, through the association of those who have faith. The preliminary faith says, I'll chant. And like this song of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, doesn't matter what your position is. Doesn't matter if you're happy, not happy. Doesn't matter what the configuration of duality is out there. It's always changing. Wait a while and it'll change. So it's the approach is to go to that innermost chamber of your heart, the soul's innermost desire on the spiritual platform. And that spiritual desire on the spiritual platform is to be again connected, again in relationship with Krishna, again with consciousness absorbed in Krishna. We know, but we're not there. So there are keys that help us cross that position. In that spiritual realm, in Goloka, they don't have a vrata of 16 rounds a day, or 32 rounds a day, or 64 rounds a day. Like the Damodar Leela, Mother Jasoda didn't need a songbook. She was just churning butter, singing spontaneous songs of Krishna's pastimes with her bangles like cartels and the butter churn like mridanga. Boom, 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 ching, 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 boom, boom, ching, ching. Singing. Spontaneous love. And when Krishna left Vrindavan, they were feeling such pain of separation from Krishna. But they couldn't stop speaking about Krishna, singing Krishna's glories, remembering Krishna. They couldn't stop. There's a wonderful description where when Uddhava came with Krishna's message, because Krishna knew that the devotees in Vrindavan were feeling such pain of separation from him, he sent a message for the gopis in particular with Uddhava. And the first place that Uddhava went, naturally, was to pay respect to the king, Nanda Maharaj, the king of Braj. And when he went into the house of Nanda Maharaj, what he saw was devastating. Mother Jasoda was in the back room just crying and crying and crying and crying and crying, and Nanda Maharaj was stunned. Uddhava was pained. So he spoke some transcendental knowledge, like we might do to like somebody's suffering, and you try to help them feel better. He said, Nanda Maharaj, you don't need to feel like this. Krishna is actually with you. Krishna has expanded himself within the heart of every living being. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He knows your desires. He knows your pain. He knows your suffering. He sent me for that reason. He's omniscient. He's all-powerful. Soon he'll come. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, Buddha was a nice boy. He's just inexperienced and immature. He lives in Mathura, and there are these people that say all these nice things about Krishna. Krishna's super soul. Actually, he's not the son of Nanda and Jasoda. He's the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He's a nice boy. Very innocent. And Krishna, he's very simple. People say these things, and Krishna starts to believe, maybe I am super soul. Maybe I don't have any mother and father. He's a nice boy. But one thing I know is that Krishna is very affectionate. And when those who love him very much, he can't check himself. He'll come. So I'm going to write a letter. And I'll give it to Uddhava. Krishna, he can take it back to Uddhava, to Krishna. My dear son Krishna, we miss you so much. We can hardly carry on with our life. We're so much feeling love for you and separation from you. And we know that you have affection for those who are your devotees. And where in this world is there anyone that has affection like we have? Krishna, please come back. Nanda Maharaj was thinking, I'll write such a letter. And surely Krishna will come. But he never wrote the letter. And Krishna didn't come. But this is the nature of the love that we wish to enter into. The love where everything is it's centered upon Krishna. And one who has such love for Krishna, Krishna manifests. He performs pastimes that one can palpably experience with loving exchange with him. That's the aspiration of Krishna's devotees, to enter into that wonderful association of Krishna's loving devotees and serve him to our heart's content. That's the stage of prema bhakti. We're not there yet. So then go down a bit, and there's the stage of bhava bhakti and asakti, attachment. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami explains that this bhava bhakti stage is sudurlabha. It's in Rupa Goswami's teachings also. If you know chapter 1 of Nectar of Devotion, there are 6 characteristics of pure devotional service. 2 pertain to sadhana, 2 pertain to bhava bhakti, 2 pertain to prema bhakti. So in the description of bhava bhakti, right in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami says, as Rupa Goswami says, bhava is sudurlabha. Labha is to obtain, and durlabha is difficult to obtain, and sudurlabha is very difficult to obtain. And he gives 2 reasons why. One of the reasons why is that to attain bhava, bhakti, one has to be attached to Krishna. One has to achieve the prior stage of attachment to Krishna. and perform sadhana on the platform of attachment to Krishna. And that even when is attached, we're not there yet. But even when is attached to Krishna and performing chanting of the holy name, it's not happening yet because there's another component, Krishna's mercy. Without Krishna's mercy, one can't receive. So there's that. It may sound like ecstatic. At the same time, it's transcendentally painful, attached, but somehow I'm not fully accepted in the internal potency of the Lord yet. I still have some attachments over on this side. So that's the second reason. Krishna rarely surdurlabha rewards bhava bhakti, because he wants to see that those who come into his intimate association are completely freed from attachment to material desire. Material desire means desire separate from Krishna's desire. Because when this ecstatic devotion is reached, Krishna's purchased. So he rarely gives it. We have to become squeaky clean in our heart. Nothing else. With full attachment. Fully expectant upon Krishna's mercy. Krishna's independent. Krishna's not dependent. We're not stamp our little foot and say, Krishna, hurry up. It doesn't work like that. Krishna's independent. And as one goes on in devotional service, chanting and otherwise, it's very clear. It becomes wonderfully clear. Krishna is fully independent. And as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, you can do with me what you like. You can embrace me if you like. You can neglect me if you like. You can trample me under your feet if you like. You can do with me whatever you like. You're independent. There's only one thing. Please keep me engaged in your service. You can do with me whatever you like. That's surdurlabha. We're not there yet. We like to become attached. How do you become attached? You become attached to that which you have a taste for. Ruchi comes before asakti, attachment. And now we have some other taste, or mixed taste. So, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes there's a stage where there's taste for the activity, and then there's taste for the object of the activity, or attachment for the activity, and attachment for the object of the activity. And there's stages. We're not there yet. We like kirtan. We like other things too. We hold on very tightly to our fruitive sense of, I'm going to do it. I'm going to achieve it. Like all the other things in life that I've done and achieved, I'll do this one too. But there's a different set of rules for spiritual progress. It's dependent upon mercy. And we have a taste for doership. Very strong. So slowly that taste has to evolve from the platform of steadiness. And steadiness is, it doesn't matter. Krishna, I am yours. And with that, there's a neglect of other things, other thoughts, other desires, like this nashta prayeshu, abhadreshu, nityam bhagavata sevaya, bhagavati uttama shloki, bhaktir bhavati, naishtuki. in the nishtha stage, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, all the impurities are almost praya. There's something still remaining of impurity in the nishtha stage, but one neglects it. Because there's something that's stronger, and that something that's stronger is, I want. It's a desire. It's a commitment to Krishna. I'm yours. I'm your servant. I'm committed to you and my relationship to you. And the other things, these residual things, but to get to that stage, we're not there yet. To get to that stage, there has to be purification. Anartha Nivritti. So many impurities, anarthas or abhadras. So we have our process. We're performing sadhana bhakti on that platform of trying to eradicate, fixing our attention on the process and the person, and our relationship with that person as best we can. And hridaya dorbhalyam, the weakness of heart, even though we know what we should do, we don't always do what we know we should do. We try to do as much as we can, but there's weakness of heart. Like Arjuna in Bhagavad Gita, what to speak of ourselves. Or asat Trishna, thirst, Trishna, thirst for the asat. We still have it. So from that thirst for the temporary, there's anarthas that arise in the heart, and they rule us. Even we have another desire, that one clouds our spiritual aspiration. And we find ourselves doing things in a manner that are unbecoming of what we know a Vaishnava should do. Our discrimination becomes bewildered, our determination becomes wavering because of this asat Krishna. Tattva vibhrama. Mistaken conceptions of the truth. Reality. And we move with those things, so that disturbs our fixed concentration and when we're chanting and performing our devotional service. So staying faithfully with the process, gradually that anartha nivritti stage is crossed. And the anartha nivritti stage becomes possible through bhajana kriya, that's possible through the association of devotees. And in the association of devotees, we try to do what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is advising in that song. Doesn't matter. So, someone can put the power button. We're going to be following what's going to be projected on the screen now. This is a little outline of a short outline of a short book. The short book is called Japa. It's a nice name. And there we go. One book written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, one of his 100 books, was a book called Bhajana Rahasya. And in Bhajana Rahasya, the topic is how to perfect chanting following Lord Chaitanya's teachings of Shikshastakam. As I mentioned yesterday, Shikshastakam is like a treasure map. And the treasure is the pure holy name. And to come to that treasure, Lord Chaitanya left a map to get to the treasure. And it's in 8 verses describing how to take up chanting and perfect chanting. So from that Bhajana Rahasya, it's the basis for this book, Japa book, and it's made very simple because Bhajana Rahasya is a little esoteric. This is very simple. First key, chant. And the first verse of Shikshastakam gives reasons why. 7 really nice reasons. Chaita Darpana Marjanam, the consciousness or the heart becomes cleansed, the mirror of the mind becomes cleansed from the chanting of the holy name, and so forth. Chaita Darpana Marjanam Bhava Maha Davagni Nirvapanam. The blazing forest fire of material existence is extinguished by the chanting of the holy name, and so forth. So there, this is a key that opens one door to get us to where we want to go. And that's in any circumstance. So if you find these keys will help you in tomorrow. Part of the major plan for today is helping you for tomorrow's 32-round day preparation and for the japa that you do thereafter. And something like the question that was raised, one of the questions yesterday was, when I take part in functions like this, my chanting really ramps up. 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, and then, what to do? So I said, fix the holes in your bucket. But here's, take these keys, and even if you fall back to the position of enthusiasm for chanting, come back to this first key because it's a starting point. In any circumstance, chant with faith that the process itself, and so you can then say, fill in the blank. It's the Yuga Dharma. It's the means for purification. It's recommended by all religions, by all of our acharyas. It's what we're to do for all the reasons. In any circumstance, chant. Bhurijan tells a story where we were in college together, and he was chanting before I was chanting. He's always been doing things before I've been doing things. He's a very wonderful, advanced Vaishnav. So the president of that little preaching center at the university was Rupanuga Prabhu. So Rupanuga Prabhu wrote a letter to Srila Prabhupada saying, there are a number of young people who are attending the program and they're chanting every day. And there's one devotee from New York who, because it's very, very cold in Buffalo, he says he likes chanting because it helps keep him warm. And Prabhupada wrote back saying, this is very nice. Chant to stay warm. Or chant for whatever reason, but chant. Just chant. It's not the highest reason for chanting, but in any circumstance, chant. And then when you're chanting, we learn, there's offenses to be avoided when chanting. And if you chant with offenses, then it creates unwanted things in the heart. And the root of all of those offenses is inattentiveness. So chant attentively. One devotee asked this morning, how do we know when we're chanting nicely? Is there a simple way of explaining that? Yes, chant attentively. Because that's the root of clearing offenses. And the converse is inattentiveness is the root of all other offenses. So chant with attention. And his keys in this book is very simple. Child simple. Too simple for us complex people. Hear one mantra at a time. And it goes like this. When you're chanting, the mind has a tendency to go different places. And if you're, even when you're trying to bring the mind to chanting, you can be thinking about the mantra that you didn't chant previously, or the mantras, the rounds that you chanted previously that weren't nice, or the ones that you haven't chanted yet over that direction in the future, about the ones that you're going to chant. But you can't chant those ones that you're going to chant yet. You can chant the one that you're chanting now. So chant the one now. The language that I like, prefer, is be present. Just like in a relationship. When you're, we have busy lives, but when you're with somebody, be with that somebody. You don't like your mind is elsewhere and doing multi-processing things while you're with somebody. Be present with that somebody. That's a relationship. And we're calling Krishna to restore a relationship. Be present. We're calling. Hare Krishna. Krishna's there. We should be present. Be attentive. And you can be attentive in the moment. Not just, I'll be attentive in the future. And worrying about why he wasn't properly attentive in the past. You have your opportunity right now. And then each mantra or each moment is a succession of nows. Be present. And by doing that, that assists in the anartha nivritti stage. So I'm trying to be attentive and it's not happening the way that I would like it. So then this term sankalpa comes where I make a determination, firm determination, dridhavrata, firm determination. I'm going to hear. When I'm doing other things, I'll do other things. When I'm chanting, I'm chanting. It's a very important lesson. Supposing I have so many things to do, each one of us, so many things to do. Or so many things of the past, something that happened, somebody said something, and I should have done this, or I should have said that, and this, you know, anything but the present. So when things that are lessons that you need to learn from the past and things that you need to plan in the future, if you're, it's pretty easy. If you are fully Krishna conscious and you're moving along the path of life and things are happening, if you're fully Krishna conscious, will you more effectively do that something than if you're not fully Krishna conscious? So be fully Krishna conscious. And then the things that you have to do in the future, Krishna will help you and you'll do them very nicely. And when there's time to sit and make a plan, you take some time out and you sit and you make a plan. But then if you're fully Krishna conscious, it'll be a good plan, inspired by Krishna. And the execution of that plan, it'll be with spiritual empowerment because you're Krishna conscious. But if we don't be Krishna conscious in the moment, how are we going to be Krishna conscious in that moment? How will you get Krishna's mercy in that moment? How will it be most effective in that moment? Chanting is an opportunity. This sankalpa idea is, it's like a magnifying glass where you take the light of the sun and pass it through the magnifying glass and it makes it one point so hot, it'll start a fire. The sun is fire. The experience here is not, things aren't burning. But if you take the magnifying glass, if you pass light through that magnifying glass at the right angle, it becomes, it starts to smoke and it'll burn. Sankalpa is a way of focusing with firm determination, attention. If you remember from yesterday, the 24th element is contaminated consciousness, but then there's pure consciousness. So bring that consciousness, attentiveness, awareness to Krishna's name. I'm expanding on this, just repeating it, saying it in different ways, but it's touching with your consciousness Krishna in the form of his holy name, Nama Rupa. And the form of Krishna's holy name is Krishna. You can, so, but I'm not there, so I need this sankalpa that will help me. Focus. Fix that determination. One mantra at a time. Be present. Be attentive. Hear. We'll expand on this a bit as we go along during the day. So I've got my sankalpa. I'm trying, but still the mind is wandering. So Krishna's given some instruction that can help. Fourth key. Yato, yato, nishchalati. Wherever the mind wanders, bring it back under the control of the self. This is a verse from Bhagavad Gita in the Dhyan Yoga chapter. Yato, yato, nishchalati, manas, chanchalam, astiram. Stira and astira. Steady and unsteady. The mind is unsteady. Chanchala, like a candle flame in the wind, flickering. And astiram. And we want the mind to become stiram, fixed. So when it becomes, when it wanders, bring it back. I've got my sankalpa operating to be attentive, be present. But we're restless. We're influenced by passion. We want to do something, think of something, get something done. You know, we're conditioned. It's like educators understand this, that younger generation, they're so much exposed to media where it's fast, 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 fast. You can't hold attention of a young audience. It's, their attention span is so polluted by media. And then, you know, the media experts, they just do it more. Just image after image after image after image. And people are spun out. Mode of passion. So slow down. Walk away from that passion and become situated in goodness. This is an essential component of the Anartha-Nivritti stage. That spiritual strength for that comes from the chanting, along with the frame of how we lead our lives. And not sleep and not passion, but attentiveness. And if that you find that the mind has wandered, you bring it back. In one of our japa retreats, Rabindra Swarup Prabhu gave a whole class for a half an hour on the necessity of abhyasa. Actually, he had come to the japa retreat having previously been a presenter at another japa retreat. Now he was a participant. So he was one of the presenters and gave a whole class. The realization that he had from a 4-day japa retreat was abhyasa. Just keep practicing. Mind wanders, bring it back. Bring it back with focus. And then you go backwards, listening to one mantra at a time, chant with attention, with focus, with great determination. And if the mind wanders, bring it back. And bring it back. And how many times? As many times. Until it's, by training, the mind becomes more peaceful, becomes disciplined, becomes situated more in the quality of goodness. And for all of those many times that it doesn't happen, be detached. Don't become angry, don't become sad, don't become discouraged, don't become frustrated. Let that mantra that you didn't chant, or those rounds that you didn't chant, or whatever the experience was that is taking the mind away from Krishna, be detached. These are found in the second verse of the lamentation. In the second verse of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Durdaivam Idrishi Mahajani Nanuraga. I don't have attachment, despite knowing all these things. So that awakens humility in the heart. Now, we mentioned yesterday, in the house of humility, or Dainya, resides prema. So to get into that, to the ninth gate, using this metaphor, where there's full shelter in the holy name, actual shelter, actual experience of attachment to Krishna with love, then the nishtha stage mentioned earlier, nashta prayeshu abhadreshu, there's still some residual impurity, some residual stuff where the mind tends to go, and neglect the mind. This is a nice instruction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also. He gives two instructions for controlling the mind. It's either one of two things. This is one of the two things. Neglect the mind or beat the mind. And he gives the example, Prabhupada would explain, giving the example of taming a tiger. The way a tiger is tamed is they starve the tiger till he's practically like finished. And then the animal trainer, first you have to capture him, but starve the tiger. And then give him a little food. And because the little food that he receives is sustaining his life, then slowly, 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 the tiger becomes dependent upon, or feeling dependent upon, that person who's giving him food. So much so that later on, in the circus, the animal trainer can put his head inside the tiger's mouth and the tiger won't do anything because he's tamed. Neglect of the mind. Tell a little anecdotal story. I had just read this description of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once when I was going for a japa retreat from the Potomac Temple. Those of you that have been to the Potomac Temple know what that neighborhood is like. It's like you have to be a multimillionaire to live in that neighborhood. Big homes, big plots of land, super landscaping, etc. Ritzy neighborhood, posh neighborhood. So one morning went for a japa walk. And I was with another devotee and we were just walking along. And I heard this dog barking, like you sometimes hear it, but it was a big dog. It was like a horse. One of those Great Danes, not just a Labrador retriever, but a Great Dane, huge guy. And he was running down the hill, ruff, ruff. And it wasn't just like, you know, little one of those little guys. It was a deep, resounding. And I thought, oh, my God, what am I going to do? Because he was huge. I mean, one gulp and I'm gone. So I just decided, because I just heard what Bhaktisiddhanta said, so I decided, I'll just neglect him, just like he's not even there. Just like he's not even there, just kept walking. And he came right down to the, from a hill, down and down and down, bounding, boom, 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 boom. Look at these teeth. I just walked by like he didn't exist. And he shrugged his shoulders and went back up the hill. Or there's another one. I was in Vrindavan. And those of you who have stayed in Vrindavan, especially those who may have taught at the VIHE, I did that for a number of years. The classes, I don't know where they're held now, but they were held in what the Gurukul quadrangle is. And those that live there have a special name for it. It's called the pressure cooker. Because when you go to Vrindavan, it's purification. You stay there for some time, it's mega purification. You stay in that quadrangle, it's like a pressure cooker. Something like enormous purification. So I just felt I had to go for a japa walk every morning. So I went for a japa walk every morning, just like get out of the quadrangle, the pressure cooker. And went out the front gate, took a right, turned. This is when it wasn't as like developed as it was, as it is today. It was a little more peaceful. Just kept walking. One morning he just was walking and walking and walking, and I just kind of lost track of where I was, just kept walking and walking. It was really nice. Wonderful japa. And it was still dark, because this is Kartik time, early in the morning, it's still dark. And all of a sudden, these five dogs that were over, because I had never been down that far before, five dogs came out. You know, rawr, 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 this is our territory, get out of here. So I happened to have my danda with me. And they were like, they were serious guys. So I took my danda and went, just held it out like that, and I remembered, so it just popped into my mind what Prabhupada said when a dog comes and you say, "Hut!" So at the top of my lungs, I screamed, "Hut!" And they looked at each other and they went back and sat down. So take your neglect or beat with a stick, the mind. But those other, progressively, as purification is happening, but there's still some residual, what to do with the residual? You neglect it. You don't invest consciousness in asat. Because if you invest consciousness in asat, what happens? It looks like sat. It looks like it's real. And then you become consumed by that. And reality becomes eclipsed. So at a certain point, spiritual strength permits you to say no and just neglect. You don't even have to say no. Just, I'm not going to pay attention to you. Nasate vidyate bhavo, no bhavo vidyate sataha. Tonios tatvadarshi bhi. Those who are tatvadarshis understand. You don't place value in asat. So if it's sat, we place value. And if it's asat, chalo. And you continue to try like that, and what happens? You realize you're weak. You're very tiny. Insignificant. That's nice. It promotes humility. One of the ways to guarantee somebody says, oh, how do I develop humility? Try to chant purely. Try to follow these steps, and you'll realize you don't have the capacity. That's a nice realization, because you'll feel very humble. And in that, in the house of dainya or humility resides prema. You're inviting love for Krishna to come in. But it won't happen if that humility isn't there. It's depending exclusively. I make effort, but I'm depending at the same time exclusively upon Krishna's mercy. And then one experiences shelter. Krishna's mercy. And with that, there's some taste. And with that taste, the fullness, now we're going back up. Taste, attachment, continuing, not fully situated yet, feeling, not fully situated yet in the internal potency of the Lord. Feeling the necessity of Krishna's mercy. But actually it's Krishna's mercy that's operative through all these stages. And you can go the other way, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, that Shraddha, faith, is operative at all the stages of bhakti. It's just different matured stages of faith. So this is a quick summary. The most essential or basic starting point is a willingness to chant in the initial stages based on faith, that simply by carrying this out, all other levels of spiritual progress will happen. And then one can move through the anarjanavritti stage, especially with this item of attentiveness or reducing inattentiveness. Strive to chant with attention, hearing one mantra at a time. Tomorrow when we're chanting our 32 rounds, remember these keys. I'm going to ask somebody to make a chart so you can walk over to the chart and look at the chart and remind yourself, okay. And that the fluctuation may go between one position and another position, but the bottom line position is chant. And chant one mantra at a time. Gradually as that evolves, then nishtha, steadiness, comes. Fixed in taking shelter of Krishna. There's two necessary parts to this. Detachment from the material desires that distract us. And a humble, yet at the same time very strong, determination to stay in this position, stay in my relationship with Krishna. Like we were saying yesterday, turning to Krishna. And the habit that we have is turning away from Krishna. Turn to Krishna with fixed determination. I'm going to stay no matter what. In the Japa retreat that we had in Seattle two weeks ago, one of the sharing at the end was one devotee captured this one point and it carried them through 64 rounds. Just stay in my relationship with Krishna. Whatever else happens, it happens. I'm not the controller of that. One thing though, I want to stay in my relationship with Krishna. And that means hearing. Striving for that. Committing to Krishna, to my relationship with Krishna, through the process of chanting His holy name. And that carries the chanter from steadiness to taste. Humility certainly becomes very pronounced. I don't have the capacity on my own to do this. I need Krishna's mercy. And with that prayer, I become more acutely aware of my impurities, my paucity of sincerity. Still, let me try. From that very humble mood, and Krishna sees that and Krishna reciprocates and extends His mercy. And when one feels that extension of Krishna's mercy, it carries one on and on and on towards Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Looking at my watch, and I went over time already, so I'm going to end abruptly like that. We spent the last Festival of the Holy Name like 2 to 3 hours on this, more maybe. So this is just a summary, and you might find it helpful. This Japa book is out at the registration table and in the gift shop, and I find it very valuable, and that meditation flip chart may help you for chanting tomorrow and for the future. So any comments or questions? Yes, Donna Kelly? Yes. That's ideal.
So my question is, why the other paganisms of Bhakti, except for perhaps Kanda, it doesn't seem like that common intention is as much less. Like, for example, chanting a chakra, you know, becomes an engaging in a or, you know, stir the subject in our other hand. But when you do other devotional services, like cooking in the kitchen, we do hear perhaps a Bhagavatam lecture, or when we're worshiping the deities, we do hear a lecture, or when, etc. So why is it that with chanting, the very, very strict rule is there to be very, very single-pointed, and we don't really hear that stressed with other limbs of bhakti?
Well, I'm surprised you're asking this question, because let's take your example and say, while chanting japa, should I listen to, while chanting japa, listening to a recording of Srila Prabhupada giving a Srimad Bhagavatam lecture? Obviously. So when I'm hearing the holy name, my attention should be focused. Let's do it the other way. I'm attending Srimad Bhagavatam class and chanting japa. I've seen that happen. When you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you're hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. When you're chanting japa, it's singular, so it applies in that case. But when you're worshipping the deity, should you be thinking about, you know, the problem that you had with so-and-so, and, you know, the long journey that you're going to have tomorrow, and planning out the route while you're dressing the deity or serving the deity? No way. You can be hearing a lecture of Srila Prabhupada speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam, or hearing a nice bhajan of Prabhupada singing, but the hearing process is very singular. I don't have a sophisticated answer, just a simple one. The hearing is singular. Hearing is, when you're hearing one thing. It's singular. When you're hearing one thing. You can't be hearing multiple things.
Why is it that
Okay, now I think I understand your question. I think I understand your question. I'm not sure I can offer a satisfying answer other than to assist us, something like what you described, when some activity that's very simple, to assist us in bringing our mind to the holy name, our mind to the service that we're doing, deity worship or cooking, that to be thinking of Krishna, it will assist us to think of Krishna while we're doing that service, if we're hearing a kirtan or hearing a lecture or reciting some verses. It helps us fix our mind upon Krishna. I mean, it's something like kirtaniya sada hari. Does that mean that if you really take that instruction seriously, like Srila Prabhupada took it seriously, that he didn't do anything else but one thing? Just chanted. What about we say, don't chant your japa while driving? Generally, we say that. So, does that mean how do I do a kirtaniya sadahari when I'm driving? I can't, but I have to drive. I can just not drive. But if I'm driving, is it okay to chant also? Yes, but not your 16 rounds, but you can chant at any time. Okay, you can chant at some, but same question. What about, I've listened, when I take prasadam, I'm listening. I'm taking prasadam, listening to Prabhupada's lectures. No, you shouldn't be eating when you're, shouldn't be doing anything else when you're listening, because it's singular. But it'll assist that activity. It'll help me bring my mind to Krishna. So the best answer that I can offer at this moment, I'd like to think some more about it, but those other activities become assisted by the process of hearing and chanting. And when we're doing our very focused activity of devotional service, or the morning Bhagavatam class, or chanting of 16 rounds, in that case, it's exclusive and nothing else. And the other is where it may assist us through the process of hearing to keep our thought on Krishna while cooking, while driving, while eating, while worshiping. I can't do much better than that right at the moment. Yes.
So, if we ever get past the stage of needing assistance, would we say that the perfection of deity worship is to just be so absorbed in the deity worship that one's not hearing an outside lecture?
Not necessarily. Just like, let's go to Mother Jasoda. She doesn't need deity worship, she has Krishna. And while she's dressing Krishna and bathing Krishna, she's glorifying Krishna, because it's on another platform. So if one became a spontaneous bhava bhakta and is doing deity worship, I see no reason to say now there's no longer any hearing and chanting, because they're already there. When they're there, they're hearing and chanting, but on another platform. Don't press it further. I don't think I can go further than what I've already said.
It cleared up.
Maharaj, not meaning to press it further, but Could a possible answer be from yesterday's discussion in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita?
What's our schedule? 9 o'clock is?
Breakfast.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go a little bit longer. Go ahead.
So we were discussing yesterday how in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, chanting engages the other senses, whereas when you're just meditating, it's just for the mind. So in that sense, deity worship doesn't engage the mind so fully. You can be, like Srila Prabhupada said, sex life can happen even on the altar. You know, you can be thinking about so many different things, so therefore the need to hear might help the mind become focused while you're doing the other activities. Could that be a problem?
That's nice. Did you catch that? Okay.
Hare Krishna. One point that came up in the Japa book was that as we strive to chant with fuller attention and more sincerity, it might become necessary to slow down. And so then there's the concern, oh, well, maybe I won't have time to do my 16 rounds if I'm really trying to make them good rounds. But then I was thinking the instruction anyway is to do 16 good rounds. So if you're not doing good rounds, then you might as well not chant at all.
No.
Okay.
No. Everything except the last one is fine. So, here's a... Prabhupada's answer for this is do both. One devotee, right in the middle of a class, Prabhupada was speaking about chanting and he just like burst out and said, Prabhupada, I have so much service, it's so difficult for me to chant. Sometimes I'm up till late at night chanting and I don't like chanting like that, and should I do less service? And Prabhupada's reply was, do both. Meaning, you know, like with your, you know, 16 good rounds, not 16 rounds, or fewer good rounds, do 16 good rounds. Well, you know, that takes practice. It takes purity. It takes determination. It takes, you know, some other nice resources. But 16 good rounds. You know, this nice quote that's over here on the wall. 16 good rounds. Okay. Yes, sir. 16 good rounds. Yeah. Something else? Chaitanya Prabhu. The which one?
This dog thing?
The dog thing.
Yeah.
You got a dog story too?
I had a similar experience, but it didn't work out that way.
The dog chomped?
Yeah, it was, well, I'll make it brief, but I was going to a friend's house, and I hadn't been there before, and there's this German Shepherd, and there's this big post in the ground with a chain on it and a choke collar on the German Shepherd, and there's a little, like, gangway next to the building. And I'm thinking as I'm walking along, as the dog was barking ferociously, that, you know, I'd be able to pass, and that the owner of the dog would just naturally have had that chain just a little shorter than the gangway there. And to my surprise, the chain was longer than, you know, the gangway, you know. And I was attacked pretty intensely, so, you know. And I was trying to ignore the dog, you know, like you were saying, you know, and it's like it's not there, and it just happened to be there on my leg. And so,
well, similarly, the mind, sometimes when you neglect the mind, it still makes a lot of noise.
Yeah. Well, you know, we're dealing with the dualities of material nature.
Yeah, so. Right.
So sometimes, I guess that was an exception, but...
Okay, anyone else? Okay, looks like we're done. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.